If you have your Bibles, Galatians, the second chapter, is where we're going to spend some time. So we got a chance to, several weeks ago, look at Galatians chapter 1, and now as we continue on using Galatians as a focal point of being able to think about our time of communion as we gather around to partake of the Lord's Supper, Galatians chapter 2, starting verse 1, it says this. It says, "Then after 14 years, Paul here is giving his credentials. After 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time to meet Barnabas. I took Titus along. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure that I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers have infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you." We see here that Paul is meeting with church leaders to lay out his plans for his evangelization and ministry that he's doing to those of the Gentiles. But he wanted to make sure and to coordinate with them that what he was doing, the race he was running, was something that wasn't in vain. In fact, in verses 6 through 10, it talks about how those church leaders encouraged him. In fact, in verse 9, it says, "James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me, and they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles, and they would go to those who were circumcised." He was encouraged to go to the Gentiles because Peter, James, and John understood the words that were spoken in Joel, the second chapter, verses 28 through 32, about how the promise, the covenant of Christ, would be for all people. But what's interesting is Paul has this moment of this time in Jerusalem where he took Titus with him, a Greek, and Titus was convinced that he needed to be circumcised. And so Paul feels the need to address this event to the church at Galatia because he wants to remind them that they are not bound by any former covenants and laws, that in fact they have been made free in Christ. And he wants to make sure to discuss this because in order, the essentiality of discussing this is key because in order to maintain the truth of Christ, he has to make sure that we understand that we're free in Christ and those at Galatia understand they're free. In a much similar way, we partake of the bread and cup because we are preserving the truth of the gospel and we do so freely. The gospel that Jesus came to fulfill all promises to redeem mankind once and for all from sin. So we partake of this. We're partaking of an act that is a proclamation of the truth and the fact that Jesus is Messiah, not just of the circumcised, but of the whole world, to make everyone free. And we will continue to remember and proclaim that until the reunion with him and the Father. We remember the truth of the new promise, the truth of the gospel when we're here. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 6, verses 13 to 19a, the first part there, says, "When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and give you many descendants.' And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised." Verse 16 says, "People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it in an oath." But notice verses 18 and the first part of 19. "God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And what is the hope that we have? Well, the hope that we have, because we understand that God cannot lie, the hope before us is what? The promise. But what promise is that? The promise for all men, the promise that was just as much for Titus as it was for Paul, James, Cephas, and John, the promise of being free in Christ. That no longer is there any kind of thing that is needed of us, but because of Christ, we have our needs met. And so as we gather here today and we proclaim the truth of the gospel, what is the truth? That we're free. That we're free, and we have the hope that in our freedom through Christ, that we'll be redeemed, that not only are we redeemed, but we will share with our Father. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessing. And Lord God, as we consider this time of communion, we come in celebration of the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. That Lord God, we remember that. That Lord God, we partake of it freely because we've been made free. That we are no longer bound to any old covenant or any old law. And we should not be considered to be compelled to do those things. But Lord God, we do the things that are through your Son. And we use our freedom of service to him and remember that freedom here as we partake. We thank you for the gospel and the hope that it gives us, how it makes us steadfast, it gives us security, Lord God, and it gives us the promise of a greater future. We praise you and thank you through your Son, Jesus. Amen.